God, that we would know that we have been blessed. That we know that we are also not left to just fend for ourselves and make our way through this world, but God, you have given us your Spirit who continually reminds us of the salvation that we have. That gives us peace regardless of the circumstance and can wake us up from our slumber to celebrate the goodness of our God through these songs of praise, to come here and worship through the learning of what your word says and to fellowship with brothers and sisters. So thank you for how you've brought us here to sing these songs and to continue in worship through the hearing of your word. May we truly take these words to heart that we just sang out. Heart of my own heart. Whatever situation, whatever life stages, whatever hurts and pains may come, that you'll still be first and foremost, you'll be our vision, and you'll be ruler of all. So we thank you. Continue to receive glory. We love you. We thank you. We love you, Father. We love you, Son. We love you, Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated.
I got a red light. Okay, well, good morning. There's a genre of movies. Okay, I'm a big movie buff. And there's this genre that I've always found pretty funny. And this genre is the body swap movies. Have you seen these before? You know the kind of movies I'm talking about? So the kind of movies specifically that I find really funny are when a younger person, right, will swap a body with an older person, right? And sometimes it's a parent, sometimes it's, you know, somebody else. And they need to literally see the world through each other's perspective, right? They need to see the world through each other's eyes. A couple of examples of this, Freaky Friday, pretty old, I guess. 13 going on 30, Big, one with Tom Hanks in it. And so these kinds of movies, they kind of remind us of the challenges and the struggles that both young and old have to face. Right? And then, of course, it's about seeing life through a different perspective. And this common theme of seeing life through this other perspective, I think it's encapsulated in this quote I want to show you guys. If youth but knew, and if age but could, youth but knew, and if age but could. And there's a lot of wisdom in this quote. There's a lot of wisdom in this quote. But I've always found it kind of pretentious, a little bit condescending. Right? As a youth, you know, I heard this quote, and I think, wait a second, what don't I know? Huh? What don't I know? I'm smart. Right? I can be wise. I can figure this out. I mean, I know as much as an adult, right? And then as an older man now, you know, I think, well, what can't I do, right? I'm not old. I'm still young at heart. My 30 is the new 20, you know. What can I do? I can do whatever you guys are doing, right? The thing is, to those older than me, I'm still just a kid. I don't know anything. But to those younger than me, I'm an old man. I mean, I'm out of touch. You know, I can't even. Right? If youth but knew, if age but could. It's about perspective and the limitations of our perspective. Today's lesson, we'll be talking about mentorship, sharing and giving perspective, about, you know, without the body swap and all the shenanigans. So would you turn with me to Titus chapter 2? Again, this is the last of the pastoral epistles, so after 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus chapter 2. So last week, Pastor Michael reminded us that, you know, those who are rebellious towards God, they need to be rebuked. Those who teach false doctrine in the church need to be disciplined. So now, Paul moves on to this. It's kind of small. All right, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and the teaching that it gives us, how to train ourselves up in righteousness and godliness. Lord, as we think about this topic of mentorship, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, and maybe even challenge us, Lord, to step out in faith and to be mentored or to be a mentor to others. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we see in our passage today, Paul, he's encouraging Titus to establish mentorship at this church in Crete. I mentioned briefly 2 weeks ago that this church, right, in Crete was in kind of a mess. This church is in kind of a mess, and Paul here, he's appointing Titus to, quote, put things in order, right? Put things in order. This messed up church, Titus is supposed to put things in order. And the first thing that he had to do was to bring in the right leaders, right? These elders. And so we talked about what that looked like, right? Men of godly character and sound doctrine. But now Paul teaches that another big part of setting this church back on the right track is establishing mentorship. Older men to guide younger men, urging them to be godly men. Older women to guide younger women, encouraging them to be godly women. And mentorship was the key to this. Right? Mentorship was the key. It's not about having a vibrant youth ministry, or it's not about hiring the best young adults pastor. Paul says, what you need to do is establish mentorship. So the first place we need to start is, well, what is mentorship? And how is that different than discipleship? Think about that. Mentorship is different than discipleship. Wait, but aren't they the same thing? Do they overlap? What is the difference? And the terms, mentorship and discipleship themselves, they actually give us a clue as to the particular focuses of these two different kinds of relationships. Okay, so a disciple is literally a learner. In Greek, the word is mathetes, and that means a student, a pupil, one who learns from a teacher or a master. Now, in a discipleship relationship, the relationship is somewhat one-sided. It's somewhat one-sided. The master shares their experience and expertise, and the disciple is just meant to emulate and to obey. Right? The more faithful they are to what the master is doing, the better of a disciple they are. A mentorship, though, is a little bit different. Right? It's not about emulating someone. There's more of an equality in the relationship, like coworkers. Right? At the workplace, you have mentors in the workplace. Right? or co-laborers. They're co-workers or co-laborers. They're equal in some way. Both the mentor and the mentee, right, they're striving together. They're working maybe for the same company, or they're serving the same master. They work together, and they walk together. The only difference is that the mentor has simply a little bit more life experience. They've gone on just a little bit ahead. The mentor is not there to teach his mentee how to be successful, but rather to just model and share life experience. A teacher teaches. A mentor shows and shares. The word mentor comes from Greek, you know, and it's actually the name of somebody. It's somebody's name in the Greek epic poem, the Odyssey. You may have heard of this one, the Odyssey. In the story, the protagonist, right, Odysseus, he has to leave for the Trojan War. Right? That's kind of like the big plot. Right? And so Odysseus has to leave to go and fight in the Trojan War. And so he appoints this friend of his, an older friend named Mentor. Right? His name was Mentor, to watch over his household and his son, Telemachus. And so this mentor was to be like this father figure to teach and to guide and to protect Odysseus' son while he was away at war. This mentor was meant to show the boy what it meant to be a man while his father was gone. And so that's really what mentors are expected to do. Not just to teach them a bunch of stuff like any old teacher, but to show and to share life together, to really just do life together. Doing life together. Next. All right. Okay, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. So here Paul begins with some instructions to presbyteros, right? We've heard this term before, presbyteros, older men. So here he's talking specifically about those who are physically older. And we're not talking about the office of elders, right? But the life stage of being older. Right? So older men, they are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled. This is very similar to the characteristics of an elder that we talked about a few weeks ago. This is a man of character, not qualifications. He's supposed to be sound in faith. Here we go. Sound in faith. So that means, you know, he's sound. He's solid in his doctrine, right? The faith, objectively, but also in his faith, in his personal trust in God. So this man, this older man, he knows his scriptures. He knows them inside out. He's got them on the brain. He knows his Bible, but he has also had experience in walking with God. And he's faced challenges and hardships. He's spent hours on his knees praying in faith. He's seen God work. He's seen God work in his life and in the lives of others. And he has stories to tell of God's faithfulness. I think that's a lot of what mentorship is. It's about just hearing stories of how God works. This man likewise must show love, right, towards others, his family, his wife, his children, his community, his neighbors. He has to be a loving person. He also possesses steadfastness. This word is often translated endurance in the faith. Right? He's not a new believer, right? But someone who has persevered in their faith. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So the older women, right, they're also encouraged to be mentors. They are to model reverence, this word reverence here, reverence. The word has roots in the Greek word for temple. Right? Reverent is how you're to act in a temple. Right? Respectful, holy. Right? You're not going to go in a temple and just tear the place up, right? You act respectful. And yet, you know what? These older women, they're meant to model this type of behavior all the time. All the time. They must not be slanderers or slaves to much wine. They must have control of their tongues, figuratively and literally, their tongues. They must not gossip. Maybe that's a particular weakness for older women. Complaining and griping about their husbands or their children or their church, sharing the latest prayer requests that were shared in confidence. It shouldn't be this way. Godly women have control of their tongues. They are to teach what is good. They are the spiritual mentor, whether a man or a woman, is to teach others about Jesus with their lives, not just their sound doctrine, but with their lives. They model what it means to have a relationship with God in their everyday routines. In their everyday routines. A godly man will be a godly man at work. He'll be honest. He'll be diligent. A godly woman will be a godly woman at the home, loving, serving her family. See, godliness is not just for Sundays, or the couple of minutes each day that we set aside for our prayers and our devotions. Godliness is 24/7. It's for the workplace and the home. It's for everywhere. And this is what mentors are to teach and to model to their mentees. The daily walk of faith. We often think that spiritual mentorship is all about studying the Bible together and praying for one another. And those things are good. But Paul also instructs mentors to just model their lives of faith and to show just godly character and what that looks like and how that reacts in certain situations, day in and day out. Being a mentor, though, doesn't mean that we've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean that we have to live perfectly like saints, even though technically we are. Mentors, we're still sinners. We still make mistakes. But we know when we do, and we know where to turn. And we're willing to be honest about it and share that with others. And that's really the only difference. Paul continues with some fruits or results of spiritual mentorship. The young women are to be trained in godliness, and then he lists these six results. All right, let's read these verses. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. This is a picture of a godly woman. And, you know, one of the most favorite passages of, you know, young men are Proverbs 31. This is the girl that I'm looking for, right? Proverbs 31. She works hard and she, you know, she's submissive and she's godly, right? It's right here too. This is what the young women are to be trained in: godliness, wisdom, like in the Proverbs. You know, but all these things up here, they're good and they're great, but they're not ends in and of themselves. Right? We don't just stop with this great behavior. Right? We don't just want women to be this way just so that they can be that way. Right? Take a look at the last part. That the word of God may not be reviled. So the whole point of this godly behavior isn't for behavior's sake. It's for witness. It's about being a witness so that we don't stumble others from hearing and believing the gospel. What might cause others to revile the word of God? Number one, I think, is hypocrisy. Right? Saying something but not following through with it. We believe in a holy God and we strive for holiness, right? But then we behave exactly the same as the world. We live like unbelievers, if not worse. Believing in sound doctrine, but not letting it change our lives is hypocrisy. It's hypocritical. And that will cause people to revile the Word of God. Another thing that can be a stumbling block towards others is judgmentalism, thinking that we're better than others. Right? We judge their faults and their sins, but we don't look at ourselves. Right? Their shortcomings are all big deals, which we're quick to point out. While ours, our faults, they're no big deal. They're minuscule, right? And that describes the Pharisees to a T. They were teachers of the law, but they were not doers themselves. Nothing is more of a stumbling block. Nothing causes the Word of God to be more reviled than judgmentalism and being a Pharisee. I have a quote from A.W. Tozer, and he says this: a Pharisee is hard on others, but easy on himself. But a spiritual man is easy on others and hard on himself. Pharisee is hard on others, but easy on himself. But a spiritual man is easy on others and hard on himself. You know, the Pharisees knew enough. They were great teachers. Great teachers, but terrible mentors. Doctrine is not all there is to the gospel. Sound doctrine is not all there is to the gospel. The true gospel teaches us that, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. Nothing within us inherently makes us better than anyone else. So we ought to be gracious and kind and forgiving to one another's failings. Oops, did I miss? Where am I? Ah, there we go. Okay. Verse 6. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. All right. So he has this list of things for the younger women. Now he has one thing for the younger men. Wow. What? You know, that's not fair. He's letting the guys off easy, right? But I think Paul is actually pointing out an area of particular weakness for young men. And this area is self-control. You know, young men, we're often unbridled and energetic and full of passion, you know? But that passion is not always pointed towards godliness. And I want to give two examples of this, since it's more closer to home. Sports. Okay, young men and sports. Young men and sports, right? So, I mean, so many guys that I know of, young men, you know, even people my age, they can rattle off rosters and statistics, right? For basketball, football, every season, they know every single player in every single team, right? And I'm like, I'm blown away. I cannot believe how much they know, right? I mean, talk about, it's astounding how much information they know. Like, they can tell you who was a quarterback on what team and what year. Like, they know all this stuff, like an encyclopedia, right? Now, imagine if that kind of passion went towards scripture memorization. No sweat. This will be no sweat. I mean, this will be easy stuff, right? If young men had the self-control to just to put that kind of, you know, effort into this. Okay, another example. Video games, right? A lot of guys, right, they can sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours playing video games. I used to be like that. I used to be able to sit for 8 to 10 hours straight, right? Just gaming, 8 to 10 hours straight, no problem. I wouldn't even get up for meals or anything. I just zoned in, right? Now the most I can do is maybe 1, maybe 2 hours if I'm really lucky, if I'm really committed and really absorbed in it. But man, all those hours, imagine if that went towards something productive, like serving or ministry. Imagine if that kind of passion and energy was self-controlled into something productive. Now, young men need self-control. I need more self-control. And you know what? Mentors in my life have encouraged and inspired me to be more disciplined with my time, my money, and my aspirations in life. Mentors have helped me do that. Oops, why am I pointing at the screen? I'm supposed to point here. Okay. Verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So lastly here, Paul is giving some encouragement directly to Titus. He tells him to watch his life and his teaching, right again, for the purpose of bearing good witness. He says, so that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And so this is what it means to be above reproach. When we live in a manner inconsistent with our speech, it gives our opponents, it gives our enemy a foothold. Again, the purpose of godliness is witness. We're not just godly people for the sake of being godly people. It's for the sake of witness. We live above reproach, not so that others are attracted to us, but so we can point them to Christ. If someone comes to criticize our faith, we need to give them no excuse, and we need to win them over with love. We show them a lifestyle that makes them say, I want that. You know, what you have, I want that. I may not believe everything you're saying right now, you know, all this stuff about creation and sin and resurrection and heaven and hell. You know, I don't really believe all that stuff right now. You know, I'm willing to think about it and hear more about it and study it. I'm not really there yet. But what you have, that lifestyle, that joy, that contentment, I want it. I want it. How do I get that? And pastors and elders, we're supposed to model that kind of lifestyle to our congregations. Mentors, we're supposed to model that kind of lifestyle, that attractive, winsome kind of lifestyle to our mentees. The main sense that I get from this passage is that spiritual mentorship is more than just teaching sound doctrine. It's more than getting together and studying and praying or going through some kind of a discipleship course together. Right? Mentorship is more than that. It's about establishing a mutual relationship that encourages each other towards Christ-like behavior. Let's see, do I have a summary slide? Yeah. Spiritual mentorship is a mutual relationship of encouraging one another towards Christ-like behavior. Godly living for the sake of witness. So how can older Christians encourage younger Christians? Older Christians, how can we encourage younger Christians? Well, by sharing life experience, showing how God has worked and God has been faithful over the years. You know, although I am your pastor, and I maybe have studied a little bit more theology than you, you know, I will gladly admit that some of you are more spiritually mature than me. I will admit that. Some of you are more spiritually mature than me. Some of you have walked with God much longer than I've even been alive. Your stories of answered prayers, they blow my mind. I couldn't even believe that God could do such things. Now, you've walked with God through tragedy and hardship that I can only imagine. Your godly character, your humility, and your love and faithfulness puts me to shame. You know, many of you are encouragements to me, a model of faith that I want to strive to be like. Right? And that's what you older Christians do for me. Younger, a younger Christian. How can younger Christians encourage older Christians? Again, this is a mutual relationship. And I thought of this. By reminding us or them of first love, the raw passion and the intensity that comes from being a new believer, you know how easily that passion dwindles the longer we walk with Christ, right? Those of us who are a little older or, you know, been Christians longer, you know what I'm talking about. Right? That passion, it dwindles the longer we walk with Christ. That's one of the biggest blessings that I've received while mentoring and working with youth. You know, I'm amazed by your enthusiasm, your energy, your raw talent, and your passion for the Lord. You know, you youth, you encourage me and you challenge me to be a better lover of God. That's what younger Christians can do for older Christians. Proverbs 27:17, very famous verse, says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, younger, older, God uses you all to sharpen me. God uses you all to sharpen me. Indeed, one of the greatest strengths of this church, SKC, is that we have a multi-generational congregation. We have a multi-generational congregation. That is a strength. That is a blessing. You know, a lot of churches out there, they cater to such a focused demographic, right? A very focused group of people, like seekers or young adults or retirees, right? Very focused. Their whole congregation is very, very focused, right? They don't get this broad range of perspectives, and they can't really establish mentorships, right? Because everybody's in the same boat. You know, but here, in this congregation even, we're very well represented. I mean, look around you. We have those of us who are in middle age, right? Parents, young couples, we've got college students, we've got youth. We're very well represented, well-rounded. And that gives us perspective. I would encourage you older, more mature Christians, right, to seek out someone to mentor, right? Someone of your own gender, someone who you look at and you see them, and then you see something of yourself in them. You see something of yourself in them. And you don't go in there and you try to fix all their problems or, you know, fix your regrets. Simply share what God has shown you through the years, your progress and your setbacks. Older Mormon Christians, find someone like that and mentor them. They need you. Younger Christians, right, open yourself up to being mentored. Right? A mentor is not there to judge you or tell you what to think and what to do, but to just share life together. And they're also wanting to be encouraged by your growth. If age but could. Each has its own strengths and weaknesses, challenges and struggles. Perspective is important. And godly mentorship can provide that. May God bless the preaching of his word and encourage us to mentor others as we've been mentored by others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this multi-generational body that you've given us, or that no matter where we are, whether we're young or old, new in the faith, or have been walking with you for years and years, or that we can still be encouraged, Lord, by the wisdom and experience of the older ones, or just the raw energy and passion and love of the younger ones. Lord, thank you for this congregation, and I pray that we would seek to tap into this blessing that you've given us and establish mentorship. Lord, encourage us and just give us boldness, Lord, to seek out mentorships and to learn. And I do pray for the mentorships that are already occurring. I pray that they would be guided in a godly way and that there'd be true honesty and fellowship and sharing there where life is shared. So thank you, God, and just move us, Lord, to maybe seek a mentor or to be a mentor. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys, if you'll stand, let's sing this last song together, and let's we'll reflect on the words as we see them. Make it our prayer. Take my life. And take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. And take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. And take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King. And take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. And take my silver and my gold, not of mine would I withhold, not of mine would I withhold. Take my love. And take my love, my God, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. And take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee, and ever only all for thee. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the reminder that again, that our time here on earth is limited. So may we reflect well and take inventory of where we invest that time, where we spend it. And if hearts were stirred about this message of mentoring or being mentored, God, I pray that we would not let it just not go from here. Let it just be a head thing that we think about and think that's a good idea. God, that you would help us as we just sang. Move us into action, God. Use our hands, use our feet, our lips. Most importantly, use the passion that we have for your glory. God, we love you. Thank you again for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated.
All right, good morning and welcome to ECCSKC. As always, after we're dismissed from here, there's going to be fellowship time in the fellowship hall. For Sunday school, we're doing combined study of Revelation, so the adults and the youth together. And I believe we also have one more, Ivana.
Okay, so just a second. I have the power. Okay. So I'm going to be talking about Operation Christmas Child, which is a service event that the youth is going to be doing. So for those of you who don't know, Operation Christmas Child uses gift-filled shoeboxes to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to children in need around the world. And so the different shoeboxes that we're packing are sent to countries where less than 2% of the population are Christians. And so not only do these kids get gifts and school supplies and sanitary items that it would have been harder for them to get or may have not have gotten, but it's also a really great way for the kids and the kids' families to come to the churches where they hand out these shoeboxes. And as these kids get these shoeboxes, they also get kind of like a bit of a Sunday school lesson in terms of who Jesus is and what the gospel is. And so not only is it a really great way for us to give things to them, but also for a way that the gospel can be shared with them and their families as well. And so last year, the youth, we went out and we bought items and also combining that with the gifts that you guys donated, we packed boxes and made about 150 boxes to be sent out. And so this year, our goal is to raise $5,000 and to make a total of, once again, 150 boxes. And so, but the thing is the youth themselves can't do this on our own, and we also want it to be something that our entire church can come together and serve together with. And so we would love to have your help. And so something you can do is definitely pray, because not only, not just for us to be able to make these boxes, but also for the hands that are going to be receiving these boxes and the families that will be impacted by them. And so that's the first thing. And then the second thing is donations. And there's a few ways that you guys can help and donate. And so the first one is to donate actual physical items, whether they be school supplies or like a comb or towel or clothes or toys and things. If you would like to donate physical items, there's a box right outside next to the offering little thing box. And attached to it, there's a poster to help give more specific examples of what we would like to be donated, what would be helpful, and different things like that. Just keep in mind, though, that they need to fit in these boxes. And so, like, don't go to Costco and get those giant teddy bear things, because we can't give those to them. Okay? So make sure it can fit in one of these boxes so we can ship it to them. The second way is, So the second way is for you guys to write notes. And so in each one of these boxes, we would like to write or give them a little handwritten note. It can be very simple. Like, a lot of times it's just like, Jesus loves you and I love you too. Like, something very simple, because when they open the boxes and they see the note, this gift isn't just something that they receive, but it becomes more personalized, something that they received from someone else who cares. And I think it also, kind of like what Pastor Jim was saying, like, it becomes more of a witness to them that, like, Christianity isn't just this thing here, but, like, it's something that connects people from all over the world. And then the third thing is just monetary check or cash donations. If you want to write a check, then make it out to ECC SKC, and in the memo line, just write Operation Christmas Child. And you can give those checks to any one of the youth counselors or Pastor Jim. That information is also on the poster in the back as well. And then finally, and just as a reminder, all these donations, the last day to donate is November 12th, which is, I think, 3 weeks from now. So it's coming up fast. And so the last thing is the food bazaar that we're going to be having on November 5th, which is 2 weeks from now. And so Speaking of which, I don't have a slide for it. But so the food bazaar is, for those of you who don't know, it's going to be in the fellowship hall, and there's going to be a lot of different foods that you guys can purchase, and we're going to be using that money to buy gifts for the shoeboxes. And so some ways you can help is if you yourself would like to make items to be sold at the food bazaar. If you are a youth parent, we sent out an email to you guys. If you're not a youth parent, you can just come and talk with any of the counselors or Pastor Jim, and we'll help you get situated in that. If you want us to provide containers for you to pack your food, please let us know the latest by this Wednesday. So that we can give you the containers next Sunday. And then, other than that, on November 5th, come hungry and ready to buy delicious food. But I think that's it, that's all. If you have any further questions, ask one of us, or there's also information provided on the poster. On the very bottom, there's a website link if you guys want to check out more specifics about what to be donated, or just more about Operation Christmas Child itself. We've also attached a little handout in your bulletin with some of that information as well. So you can take it home and look at it. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ivana. All right, next up, we'd like to invite Pastor Jim and Rihanna and her family to come up.
All right, so we are taking this Sunday to appreciate Pastor Jim, Rihanna, and the family. They've been here among us now for over a year, and we're just very thankful for the blessing of having their family here with us, truly they've just sort of gone right into ministry, we want to take this time to just say thank you that you've been a blessing to this church family. We know as a pastor, you do a lot of stuff, but part of it, you have to do a lot of talking. And he uses his words to encourage us, to teach us, occasionally to admonish us, but also uses it to inspire us and to show us his love. And so for that, for the pastoral appreciation, we've got you Swell water bottles for your whole family, so you won't get dehydrated doing your work. Now, Derek, if you can step in and just pray for us.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks. Thanks for your sovereignty. Thanks for calling Pastor Jim and his family to our church. Thank you, that Lord, that he answered that call. We just want to recognize that because of you, he is able to use his gifts here to share them with us, to serve us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. But also, Lord, we thank you that ECCSKC can also help to serve them, that we can also come alongside to help them to grow and to mature in this walk that we all share together. So, Lord, we do appreciate them, and we do appreciate you bringing them to us. Thank you for all that you do for our family and their family, and we just give you the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Oh.
Thank you all. It really is my privilege to be here serving with you. Let's have a couple moments of silent prayer, and then I'll close us out. Is this not working? Okay, let's pray. Father, we do indeed thank you for this church, this body, where we can learn from one another and to grow together. Continue to give us patience and give us boldness and give us a good witness. Lord, help us to live godly lives so that we may not be stumbling blocks for our enemies. So thank you, Lord, and be with us now. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.